Let's greet the people next to us. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. With that, do you think the force of darkness will be broken? Today's title is the Church Temple Platform. Second Samuel chapter 7 verses 1 through 17. And right now, we are looking at the big stream of the Bible using the term platform. And I'm relaying to you the stream of the Bible. If you look in Genesis, you see the entire content of the Bible. And Genesis is recorded centered on four incidents. The first incident is the incident of creation. God created this universe in all creation, but especially in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27, God created mankind in His own image. And so, we are all created as beings that has to meet God, whoever you are. And to that mankind, God gave the blessing of worship. A blessing to communicate with God, blessing to worship God, blessing to receive everything from God. And God blessed us as worshipers. And in verse 28, the blessing God has given to us is recorded in verse 28, to rule and subdue this world. To give birth, to increase in number, and to rule and subdue this world. And God gave this special blessing to mankind. And only those with the image of God, those who restore the image of God, can rule and subdue this world. But the second incident is the incident of corruption. Mankind corrupted, deceived by the devil. And we call this the incident of Genesis chapter 3, or the incident of the original sin. And this original sin is the spiritual problem. The spiritual problem. And how much that we corrupted, we completely corrupted. It's not just partially corruption, it's complete corruption. It's total corruption. Total corruption. We humans have completely, totally corrupted and failed. And that's why not only mankind, but all creation turned evil. Right, because mankind corrupted and turned evil, all creation, all animals too, became evil. And that means with human strength, you cannot save anything. That's what's complete corruption, complete fatality. But that is the reason why spiritual problems will continue to arise in our lives. That's why from the very beginning, knowing that we humans have completely corrupted and cannot solve any problem, God gave us the gospel of Genesis 3 verse 15. God gave us the complete gospel. The third incident in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, is the incident of Nephilim. And Nephilim means the one who corrupted, the one who was casted from heaven, the one who fell from heaven. And who is that? That's Satan. And it says, man became flesh. In other words, they become very worldly. And mankind corrupted this so much that God regretted creating mankind, that he decided to get rid of everything that has life. And that's when we see the incident of Noah and his ark. And that's the incident of Nephilim. And the very first time the world completely was wasted, completely done, was the time of Noah. And in the fourth incident in the book of Genesis is the Tower of Babel. Now that Noah and his generation died of water, the next generation decided to build a tower that reaches up to heaven so that water cannot kill them. And that's why people started to work hard and achieve success and try to be successful and say you can do anything. And that's the Tower of Babel. No matter how much you build a tower that goes up to the skies, no one can stop God's judgment. In other words, these people became arrogant that they try to live their lives with their own strength without God and saying, we don't need God, we're going to be like God. But that's the Tower of Babel. But that's when God confused them, and that's when we start the beginning of 2,500 different languages. And these people start to scatter. But that's when they can no longer communicate and their lifestyle completely crumbled. And we see these four incidents in the book of Genesis. But God said to give an answer regarding these problems. And that's Genesis 3, verse 15. The offspring of woman will come and crush the serpent's head. And God destined to save mankind that corrupted. And God opened the way to restoration. God opened the way to be emancipated. God gave them a way to live. And that's the Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. To mankind that committed sin and completely corrupted to the point where they cannot be saved, God is the one who opened the way to be saved from the very beginning, and that's what we call the gospel. This is what God has given to us. Even in a time of nothing, God gave us the gospel again. That's Genesis chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore, go and make yourself an ark for you and for your family. Build an ark for the posterity. Build an ark for all that has life. An ark means salvation. When you enter the ark, you live. And all the animals went two by two. And if the animals enter the ark, they live. Even if you're a human like an animal, a human that is completely corrupted, if you're in the ark, you live. If you meet Christ, you'll be saved. And through this ark movement, God gave life and saved life. And in the Tower of Babel incidents, people became arrogant. People tried to achieve success without God, and they think they can do everything without God. But all these people corrupted, and all these people were disbanded, and they were scattered. And that's why in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4, God calls Abraham. Especially through these three incidents that need salvation, God relays the covenants of the gospel through Abraham. Abraham was the one who relayed the way of salvation to everyone. And so God explains the way of salvation through Abraham. And through Isaac. Through Isaac, what does God relay? God relays the blessing of enjoyment. Enjoying the blessings of God that Abraham received. In other words, when you receive salvation, you receive status and authority of a child of God. Then with that status and authority of a child of God, you have to enjoy it. God gave you these blessings for you to enjoy it. And so you must be in peace when you live your walk of faith. If you're living a life of difficulty and suffering and walk of faith, that's not really living the correct walk of faith. If you're always emotionally damaged, scarred by people, and you're always, not feeling good, that's not living the correct walk of faith. Now that you've received salvation, you must be able to transcend all things. You have to find a peace that God gives to you. And you have to enjoy that. And through Isaac, who enjoyed the blessings of God, we see Jacob, the covenant related to Jacob. And God changed Jacob into Israel, right? The people chosen by God. The nation chosen by God. And so when we are sinned, we turn into a spiritual Israel. We are the people set apart, people chosen by God. And so now that you've received salvation, you are God's people. You are a child of God. And that's what God is relaying to us through Jacob. Then now that you're a child of God, you have to believe in Christ. And so through Jacob, we see God relaying the essence of evangelism. In other words, Israelites are the people who must evangelize. And you have to do worldly evangelization through the Israelites. In other words, because we are the spiritual Israelites, we are the ones who can evangelize. Non-believers can't evangelize other non-believers, right? Only children of God can evangelize. Only children of God can proclaim the gospel. And that's how we see God raised the 12 tribes that will enter the land of Canaan. And we see one more individual, and that's Joseph. And God sends Joseph as a slave to Egypt. But eventually God saves Egypt through Joseph so that people understand missions. And so God gave the message of missions to Joseph. The first missionary is Joseph. Although Joseph went as a slave, he became successful in saving the nation. He saved not only Egypt, but he also saved his people as well by bringing them into the land of Goshen. And these works took place. And so in the book of Genesis, we see these four incidents and these four individuals. And this is the completion of Genesis. And this is the important gospel for us. All of us who have completely corrupted and died, God gave us the gospel. God gave us salvation. And how to receive salvation. And God relayed that through Abraham. And through Isaac, we see the blessings of a child of God. And God wants us to enjoy that. And not only should we enjoy the blessing of the child of God, God wants us to evangelize. And so God showed what evangelism is through Jacob. Not only are we evangelizing, we have to save the entire world. That's why God used Joseph to explain the message of missions. And so all of this blessing is hidden inside the gospel. And you have already received this blessing, therefore you have to enjoy it. Do you understand? Do not end up just receiving salvation. Now that you receive salvation, with that, God's way to enjoy it abundantly. You should have no problems. That's the problem. This is the problem. Truth, we're going to have problems until the day we die. There's going to be more problems in the future. Right? Problems are going to come again and again. In other words, we are living in problems at all times. Do you think you're the only one with problems? That's a mental problem. You're not the only one with problems. Everyone has problems. Either you're a good person, bad person, wealthy or not, doesn't matter, everyone has problems. But, and your brain tells you you're the only one with that problem. But ask everyone. Go to a graveyard and ask the people who died and say, why did you die? Every graveyard has an excuse. They all died with excuses. Do you think there's no one in this world who has no problems? The Bible told us in Genesis 3 that humans have completely corrupted, humans have completely died, and Satan is the ruler and the king of this world. And he is holding on to each individual, seizing them. So that's why absolutely there's going to be problems. Right? If one problem is solved, another problem will come to you. So are you the only one with problems? No, everyone has problems. Everyone has problems, but what do we believe? We believe that problem has already been finished through Jesus Christ on the cross. But if you don't believe in that, you're not saved. If you can't believe in Christ, if you don't believe in Christ who finished it, you won't be saved. You shouldn't be satisfied with just with the fact that you're going to heaven because you've been saved. Now that you see salvation, you have to enjoy the blessings of the gospel. You have to enjoy the blessings of God's kingdom on this earth. And then you move into God's kingdom after you die. And that's walk of faith. But always seized by problems, always seized by scars, wearing this and wearing that. And you can't do your job because of that. And you're always wandering because of that problem. If you're wandering around in your life, it means that your thoughts are wandering around. When your thoughts are wandering around, then of course your life is going to wander around too. And if you cannot renew your thoughts, you're going to always have the same pattern with the same lifestyle. You're going to follow the reality. And you're going to be wandering around your entire life. But the Bible tells us that Christ finished all that problem on the cross. But we always see things from my perspective, my thoughts, my logic, my understandings. And we can't overcome this framework of me. And if you can't do that, you're going to suffer more. Instead of living the life of blessing, the blessing of ruling, subduing the world, right? God told us to fill the earth, to increase in number, and, you know, and God gave this blessing to us because we've been saved through Jesus Christ. But you're the one going back into the framework of Genesis 3 and living that life of Genesis 3, and you can't overcome it. Then you're making suffering. You're the one causing problems. You're the one trapping yourself into these problems and worrying about things that you don't have to worry about. You're doing that on your own. That's why we have to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Meditate on God's Word. And really pray to God. And stop worrying on your own, but just rely on God. Right? Ask of Him. Now, if you just change your life to that. But it's a little difficult, right? Prayer, I'm sure it's difficult for you. And that's why your life becomes very difficult. God has said to enjoy it, but we don't. But that's why God allows us to understand evangelism through Jacob. To save the nation, right? God continues to give the message. And through Joseph, this nation, this 12 tribes must go into the entire world. And to understand that God first sent Joseph into Egypt, the method was to as a slave. But God made him understand what missions is. And so people chosen by God, it's correct for you to hold on to the covenant of world evangelization. And that's very important. Because that's the gospel. And this is what God has given to us. But the Israelites lost hold of Egypt to 3:15, 6:14, and 12:1-4. That's where Israelites became slaves. And they live as slaves for 400 years. But that's when God gave them the gospel of Exodus chapter 3, verse 18, when you bring the bloodline, you will be free from Egypt. And God gave that message. Right? If you lose hold of the covenant, you become slaves again. No matter how much you say you live a good walk of faith, the moment you lose hold of the covenant, you'll go back. You'll go back to the world again. And you fall into the things of the world again. That's who we are. That's why every day you have to be awake, every day you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then to meditate in God's Word. Because we will quickly go back to our former states. It's not the story of Israel, it's the story of us. Because we always go back. And they get out of Egypt, they do exodus from Egypt, and then they go to the wilderness. In the wilderness, God made them build a tabernacle. And set on three feasts. They live a life centered on worship. And in the place where they cannot grow any crop, God will give them manna in the morning. And because they wanted, you know, meat, even they didn't even shoot an arrow, but quail fell from the sky. And when they had water, God gave them water through the rock. And when it's cold, God worked them through the pillar of fire. And because it's very hot in the daytime, God worked through the pillar of cloud. 365 days, 24 hours. God has never forsaken Israelites in the wilderness. He was always with them. And that's the life in the wilderness. Don't look at the word and say, it's so difficult in here. No, hold on to God's word and receive grace. Receive grace as you worship. Don't look at your environment and say, I'm so difficult, I'm going to die. No. Hold on to God's word and meditate on it. That's the strength for us to live in this wilderness. That's power for us to live in the wilderness. But people only look at the world and they don't see the spiritual things of God. That's why it's so difficult in this wilderness. Because that's, you're living the life in the wilderness. That's why God told Israel to build a tabernacle when they entered the wilderness. And the first thing God told them to do was build a tabernacle and worship Him and keep the three feasts, right? What's the three feasts? Pentecost, receiving the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Following God's word. You're in the wilderness, but you are a child of God. You have a citizenship of God's heaven. Right? And that's in gathering. A passive salvation. And God made us find their identity even in midst of difficulty in the wilderness. Walk up is nothing else. It's who you are. You have to find that identity. It's not difficult, no. What is my identity? I'm a child of God. Who's responsible in life? It's God. Right? I'm praying, but who has to answer me? It's God. Right? But there's limits with my strength. That's why you pray, Lord, send your heavenly angels. Because in the Bible it says, does not God minister to the angels? Whenever you pray, don't the angels come and take all your prayers into this vessel and take it up to God? Your background is God. It's God's kingdom. It's God's power. And when you see the spiritual things, you see the world differently. You interpret the problem correctly. But how can you see the world correctly without God's word? It's very difficult. With your level, of course it's difficult. With your thought, it's difficult. With your experience, you've done it before, it didn't work. Right? Walk of faith is not difficult at all. Believing God's promise and you're enjoying it, that's a life of salvation. That's what you have to do. It's not difficult. Yes, physically it's difficult. You have to work hard for money to come to you. Because there's more people right now, more smarter, more intelligent, more skilled individual, more people with experience, people with more better background, and they're all living the world. For them to come to you, it's difficult. Think about it. And are you specially learned? Are you born with a great background? Truthfully, no. And so from birth, we are born without leisure. You look at your parents, look at your family, there's no leisure. You look at the people around you, and everyone has no leisure. And they're living life doing this, doing that. And you learn that from childhood. And you grew up watching that. And you think that if you don't live that lifestyle, you won't be able to live well. And all that has accumulated in us so much. But do you know how much Satan is inside of you that he doesn't let you throw away those things, discard those things? And he is deceiving your thoughts. Whose work is that? It's the force of darkness. But Jesus Christ completely crushed that devil on the cross. That's why you don't have to worry. Worries are no longer yours. Scars are no longer yours. Right, just like the Sunday school praise song, it's not yours. With faith, believe that it's finished. That's faith. You need to have that faith to have spiritual victory and strength. Please be victorious. If you have really been emancipated through Christ, right, in the wilderness, there's nothing, you can't live there in your strength for 40 years. That is why God opens all the way through worship. God teaches them the way through worship. There's no other method for Israelites. All you have to do is obey this God's word. That's it. That's all you have to do. And now they enter the land of Canaan. And then the first place they go to is Jericho. And that's where God prepared Rahab. And Rahab was the person God prepared. Right, the scarlet cord. Right, this is the person God prepared. This person didn't grow in faith because someone came to her and nurtured her. No, this person did not grow in faith because someone came to proclaim the gospel. All she heard was rumor about the Israelites, about God, and she had faith. That's amazing. She already heard rumors about you. And Jericho's closed his doors tight. And there's no one who can go against you in Jericho, right? That's what she says to the spies. And they're all trembling with fear. And she says, because I helped you. Now, when Jericho collapses, then save me and my family. And you have to promise me this. And that promise is to have the red scarlet cord out her window. And that represents the blood of the Lamb. And she held on to that as the covenant. And before Jericho collapsed, right, the Israelites saw that there was a scarlet cord right outside her house, and that was the only place that was saved out of Jericho. We say, let's nurture. We proclaim so much of the gospel, but they don't grow in faith. But this person grew in faith just by hearing rumors. That's why this person was prepared by God. This is a person God prepared. And there are people like this prepared in Japan as well. You have to find these individuals. That's true evangelism. And after rehab, we see an individual like Samuel, the spiritual leader. The Mizpah movement. Right, he brought a lamb before everyone and gave a burnt offering to the Lord. And all the Gentiles discarded all their idolatry, and they all praised God and worshiped God. And we had this spiritual leader come up. And as long as Samuel lived, the war ceased. All of which darkness crumbled. If there's only one person with the covenant, that's enough to save the age. And today it's about three things. We see God's hidden ministry. God's hidden ministry. And there's God's public ministry, or his ministry that's shown, that's revealed. And third, we see David's life masterpiece. These three things today. Now, what's God's hidden ministry? Right, last week we saw the book of Judges. Right, it's a history of 350 years, but it's a repetition of those 350 years. While Joshua and the elders of his age lived, they all served the Lord God. But after Joshua and the elders, they all died. That's when, instead of serving God, they served idols. And when you idol worship, 100% disasters will befall upon you. And when disasters come to you, God had to raise these judges. And the first judge was Othniel, to restore the gospel and to restore the covenant again. And when these Israelites repented, then God granted restoration. But after restoration, they cannot continue. They go back to the former state where they worshiped idols again. And so God raised 14 judges for 350 years. And so, 350 years, the history of Israel just repeated itself again and again. But most people are deceived today. Faith is about continuation. You continue your faith until the day you go to heaven, until the second coming of Jesus Christ. Faith should not go up or down. Faith is continuation. And covenant is also continuation. It's regardless of your situation. I said this on Friday in the evangelism school time, and I continue to say this, but Christ does not change depending on your situation. Christ is not deformed by your situation. The meaning of the gospel doesn't change depending on your situation or your, feeling or how you feel or your problems. The gospel is gospel. Christ is Christ. Even if you have a sickness, gospel is gospel. Even if you fall into trials, Christ is Christ. Even if you have a serious spiritual problem, even if your spiritual problem is not solved, Christ is still the Christ. Right? That's the gospel. But how do we think? Christ is Christ only when my spiritual problem is solved. The gospel is like the gospel when my problem is solved. When my money problem, my financial issues, when my food issues are solved, that's when Christ is Christ. Is that really true? Then you understood it incorrectly. That's not the gospel. The gospel has solved all the problems that we cannot solve. Christ finished everything. That's the gospel. That's Christ. You may have these problems, those problems in your life. But your main essence should not sway. No matter what, Christ is the Christ. It's the gospel. Right? If things go well, it's Christ. If things don't go well, then it's not Christ. That's religion. And so when you live your walk of faith, you have to really accept Christ as the Savior of your life. And accept Christ as the Master of your life. And you have these problems, those problems, that's God's plan for you. Right? I have these problems, those problems, these things takes place in my life, and that's God's plan for you. You have to find God's plan. Instead of separate from God, separate from God's word, and separate your faith because of your problems. That's not correct. Because we don't believe in a religious God. We don't believe in a dead God. A true gospel doesn't matter what situation you're in, because He saved you. Because He has already changed your status and authority. Even if you fall down, the gospel does not change. That's the gospel. But do you know how much faith we have for blessings? You know, when things go well, it's as if you have great faith. And you feel so good. And you're like so effervescent. But when there's a crisis or environmental problem, then you lose all strength. Like you, as if you had constipated for 10 days, you know, you just can't even stand up. I'm sure you're constipated before or had diarrhea. You lose all sorts of strength when you have diarrhea for a few days. But that's not faith. It's okay no matter what problems you have. Why? Because Christ does not change. The gospel does not change. And believe that God has a plan for you inside that problem and find God's plan. That's it. That's the answer and that's the life of the witness. You don't live a walk of faith centered on your emotions. Don't learn that incorrect walk of faith. And do not repeat that same lifestyle. You have to continue with faith. And in church, you have to live a continuous walk of faith. So may you receive 1,000 years worth of answers. That's the walk of faith. And we see this repetition of history in the book of Judges. And that's why people fall into spiritual confusion. That's why God prepares another person. And that's in the book of Ruth. And this person in the age of spiritual confusion, God prepares an individual like Ruth. So if you go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 18. There's the family line of Perez. Perez is the son of Tamar. Right, Judah and Tamar gave birth to a son named Perez. And in verse 22, at the very end, it says, through Perez who was born, David is born. God used the family line of Ruth. God used the person with the covenant, and we see the person with the covenant born. And David was born in this age of spiritual confusion. And he who anoints David with oils? It's Samuel. We see 1 and 2 Samuel. Until the time of Ruth is the time where God was ruling the world. But the Israelites saw other nations, other kingdoms, and they had kings. That's why the Israelites said, let's raise a king for ourselves. And they asked God. And God allows that. God allows a king. And that's when God, the people raised King Saul as the first king of Israel. But God does raise King Saul. But King Saul eventually failed. He used his humanism and failed. And eventually God forsake Saul and raised David as a king. And Prophet Samuel came in, you know, anoints him, and Prophet Nathan comes and, you know, tells King Saul that a new one will be a king. But we see something very important here. Now that we welcome the age of kings, the first king is King Saul. But in 1 Kings chapter 31, we see King Saul hit by an arrow. But he's been hit by an arrow, but he's not dying. And because he's not dying, even though he's been hit by an arrow and he's bleeding out, he eventually, you know, dies by his own sword. He falls on his own sword. Basically, he commits suicide. And all his sons as well dies. And King Saul failed. The only reason he failed is because he lost all the covenant. When he lost the covenant, his children also died. That's the lesson you have to hold on to. And so in our walk of faith, you're not living a walk of faith centered on emotions or your feeling or your thoughts or your calculations. No. Your walk of faith must be a walk of faith centered on the covenant that never changes. You have to know this stream and live your walk of faith. And your faith must be inside this stream. And you have to relay this covenant to the posterity. There are so many churches, there are many pastors who say this and say that. Yeah, Christianity has corrupted so much, and they live their walk of faith centered on their thoughts without the covenant. And they give messages so that people will gather. And they say things that will move people's hearts instead of relaying the important covenants of the Bible. And you have to relay the covenant so they can live the walk of faith, and you have to help everyone know they're inside the stream of the covenant. But instead of saying that, they just say, just be blessed or gain strength. You can do it, just do it. It seems like they're giving lots of comfort to people that are actually losing hold of all the spiritual blessings. And people turn into faith just for blessings. But in our walk of faith, you have to see this great major stream in the Bible and believe that you are inside this covenant journey. You are in this covenant journey right now. And that's the walk of faith you must live. So please enjoy this blessing. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, when the Israelites were very sad because King Saul had died, and they were in tears. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 1, but God said, I've already forsaken Saul. God already forsaken Saul. He says, why would I be sad about the one who I've forsaken? Why are you sad about the one who doesn't even have a covenant? Because there's going to be another war, there's going to be another disaster that's going to follow. That's why we see God's public ministry, the ministry that He shows. First Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 to 15. That was last week's message, the Mizpah. Alright, Samuel was a spiritual leader. And he gave a burnt sacrifice to God in front of all the Israelites. And resolved all the spiritual problems of the Israelites by giving a sacrifice to God. And it says, throw away all your idols and worship only God. And that's what it says, gathered at Mizpah. And all it says, gathered at Mizpah and threw away their idols and repented to God. And Samuel did this role as a spiritual leader. And who was here? David was here as well. And if you look at David's family line, it's a family line that continued to relay the covenant. He was born inside the family line of the covenant that was being relayed. And so, you shouldn't live and walk only in your generation, but to your children, to the posterity, you have to continue to relay the covenant, become the family line that relays the covenant. Then your children will be successful in this world. And Samuel circuits the entire nation, and he restores wherever he goes, and helps them restore the covenant, restore the worship. That's 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. What does Samuel say about David? Instead of saying that David was a shepherd, it says there is one king in that place. And Samuel saw a boy in David. He didn't see him physically, but he saw him spiritually. He saw the remnants. He saw the remnant from a young age. This David is one king of Israel. Right, David was only a shepherd who was tending the sheep that his father gave him. He was only a shepherd. But Samuel saw the shepherd boy, not as a shepherd boy, but as the king of Israel. And that's the eyes to see the posterity. That's the eyes to see the remnants. How is this remnant following the stream of the Word of God? How is this remnant living the walk of centered on the covenant and being guided by God in His Word? That's the eyes to see the remnants. Samuel didn't see the shepherd boy as a shepherd boy. No, he saw him as a king of Israel. And this is the reason why we are relaying the covenant to the posterity. Do you understand? You live and learn if you live a walk of faith or not, then you don't know the gospel, and you don't have assurance of the covenant. You don't know what it means to relay the covenant. And you say, oh, that child's life is that child's life, so just leave them alone, and you just want them to go physically. That's not it. Jesse raised his son David to really grow in faith. right? And we see evidence of that. Jesse tells his son, David, to go into the to battlefield and give the food to his brothers, but also go back and get a sign, a seal. And raised David centered on the covenant, centered with faith. That's how you raise your children as well. Then, a spiritual leader like David will be born. You enjoy the things of the world, and one day one person that enjoys so much the things of the world, and someone says, you're going to be Sam, you're going to be like David. No. From childhood, those who relay the covenant becomes a person like David or Samuel. So in our walk of faith, it's most important to relay the covenant to them. So not only live a good walk in your generation. And I always say this to you, but your posture is more important. Please restore this faith. It's very important. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, Samuel anointed David with oil as the king of Israel. First Samuel 16, verse 23, after David is anointed with oil, and King Saul is possessed by the evil spirit, David goes with the praise team, and as they praise God, the evil spirit fled. The evil spirit in King Saul fled. And God arose these kind of works. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 1 through 47, right, this is where restoring was repeating this history of 350 years, but through one spiritual leader, it completely broke down the Philistines and the spiritual disasters, and it started a time of peace. And let's see David's life masterpiece. Second Samuel, chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Right, David is king. But in verse 1, right, while he lived in the palace peacefully as he defeated the Philistines, right, David ended the war against the Philistines, and so now he is in the palace living a peaceful life. But what does David confess? That's what's important. Right, you earn lots of money, you buy a house, you do everything you can do, but at that time, what are you going to do? What did David do when he was settled in without any enemies? Right, there's no more war. There's no reason to fight. He's in peace. And all he has to do is just live peacefully in the palace. But when he thought about it, right, I'm living in a house of cedar, but the Ark of God still is in a tent. And he changed his thoughts. But when I am at peace, I should build a church, a temple of God, to put the Ark of the Covenant there. You know, we can make big prayer topics and pray about it. But David didn't make up a big prayer topic and pray about it. No, he did what was most rightful. He did what was most, you know, the most important thing. That was his prayer topic. Just because you make a big plan doesn't mean it's going to work. Right? All David has to do is just live a peaceful life and, you know, live a good political life, because he's a king and King Saul is dead already. Well, during that peaceful time, what did he find? God's covenant, the temple of God. And that's what he prays for. But we're the opposite. You know, when we have good things, we go into the world. And we try to be more filled with the worldly things. And we try to fill ourselves with the physical things, right? The worldly things. But David was the opposite. He still held on to the covenant. And his thought was really a person of the covenant. A person with the gospel. And he prepares the construction of the temple. In 1 Kings chapter 19, we see him build a platform. And he told the Israelites, we're going to build a tabernacle, we're going to build a temple of God. And all the Israelites, they brought their gold and brought all their wealth to the point where David said, don't bring it anymore because we have enough. But they still bring more offerings. And these were their place. And they, in the time of David, they prepared the construction temple. And in the time of Solomon, they finished the construction temple. And Solomon, he's just sitting down. And builds a temple of God because his father already prepared everything for him. But God blessed Solomon to the point where he enjoyed the most wealth in this world because he did the most important, which was building the temple of God. And that's the prayer topic that we are praying for, the RTC, the construction of the RTC temple. And you have to pray with these prayer topics. If you earn lots of money, you're going to think about having fun, having eating well, drinking well. No, like David. Right? Like David, you could all just, you know, live a peaceful life. But no, David held on to the covenant, even in the most peaceful time, and prepared the temple of God. And he actually prepares it. And God blessed him so much. And David received this financial blessing as well. In Psalm chapter 73, we see David's life masterpiece. And so today, you have to see this major, big stream of the Bible. And I bless you, Jesus, because you remain inside this line of the covenant. And so in your walk of faith, you have to hold on to this covenant. And inside this stream of the covenant, you are here, you have to be used by God. And that is the faith that will be blessed by God. You're not moving just centered on your environment, your situation. No. You're holding God's word and his covenant. And you have to be inside that stream where you're guided by God. Right? The pastor admits you. All the believers admit you. And God admits you. And that time when you lack knowledge, or when you lack those skills, God makes sure that won't become an issue to do the work of God. And that's the work of God, right? He makes sure that you can do the work of God, even if you're lacking. So there's no reason for you to eat, you know, painkillers, or, you know, reason to work hard and live diligently to the point where it kills you. You're living the incorrect walk of faith because there's so much stress in working hard in this world. Don't live that life. It's a very short life. God has given you the covenant. And you have to see that time schedule of God and really quickly restore yourself, prepare yourself, and enjoy that, right? Don't be stressed by things of the world. Instead, enjoy the blessings of God. And go according to where God opens the door, right? That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. But Satan confuses you. That's what to hold on to the covenant and pray. Like I'll say this in the second service message. But you have to pray 24-hour and the 25-hour prayer that moves the throne of God, holding on to the Word of God. By blessing Jesus Christ, you live this walk of faith centered on the stream, right, David's church temple platform. And we're going to continue to use the word platform in the message. But you have to please ride the stream. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. Through this church temple platform, we thank you for allowing us to understand this stream that is flowing even now, that began from Genesis all the way to Samuel. And we thank you for allowing us to remain inside this coming journey as well. Lord, may we renew our own spiritual states and our walk of faith, and will you bless every single one of us through this word of God. Everything is inside the covenant. Therefore, may we enjoy all those blessings. We thank you and we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll get prepared offering to the Lord. Praise Him, hymnal 392.